Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions.
The purpose of the church is God has given us His authority. He's given us His power so that we have the keys to open up salvation, to open up the kingdom of God. We got it. He put it in the church's hands.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Dr. Williams has asked one of our superb associate ministers to share God's word with us this week, Reverend Maurice Harris, and he titles his message, The Real Church. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verses 7 down through 10. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, how grateful we are for this privilege and for this opportunity, oh God, to come before you in prayer and for this time of preaching. We do pray, God, that you would bless us in this preaching moment. Please touch each heart, every soul in here today, that the hearts would be receptive to your word. We pray that you would save that one you've been working on, you've been drawing by your power and by your spirit. And for that one who has left and decided to come back, may this be the day that you would touch their hearts. We pray now, God, that you would help these people not to see me, but to see you, not to hear me, but to hear you. We ask that you would just have your way in this place today. It's in the powerful and strong name of Jesus our Christ that we pray and beseech you. And every heart said amen.
Amen.
In glorification and magnification, lifting up the name of our God, He whom our forefathers have taught us is the first and the last, a beginning without a beginning and an end without an end. To Big Papa and to all of these preachers who share the burden and blessing of preaching, to all of the deacons, officers, and all of the great members of this church and all of you who are visiting, we thank God for this privilege to share the word with you this morning. It is an awesome task, and we're going to get right into it. I definitely want to express my extreme gratitude and appreciation to Big Papa, because I know that he didn't have to allow me to share the word with you today, and I'm humbled in this opportunity to share. And he is more than Big Papa to me. He helped me to become a man, to be who I am today. And I'm a little different than most of the sons in this church. And from the standpoint of, I'm that kind of child, you know, that need a little extra help. Yeah, that's me, you know. And if you got children more than one, you got somebody like that. Amen. These over here gonna be all right, but that one right there gonna need something extra. And that's me. That's me, and he have loved me in spite of. We're blessed to have him as our pastor. Amen. Never met anybody like him. Amen. And you know, that sounds like a cliche. It really does. But you know, I've been able to kind of travel the length and breadth of the nation and met a whole lot of preachers, not to get into all of that, but never met nobody like him. Amen. Nobody. Amen. And this is not to pump him up. This is not to, you know, just be saying something because this is what a preacher's supposed to do. It's the truth. It's the reality. The Lord loves the truth. Amen. And the Bible said the truth will set you free. And so I want to say, if I never get an opportunity to say it again, because tomorrow's not promised, I want to say to him now that I love him. I cut all my spiritual teeth here. When I came here, I knew nothing of God, knew nothing of the Bible. Nothing. And I cut them all here. And I was able to cut those teeth and able to eat some strong meat. You got to have some teeth, right? Ain't that right? I mean, you got to have some teeth for to eat. You don't want to just drink milk all the time. But I cut all, you're going to get the analogy here in just a minute. I cut all of my spiritual teeth here. So whatever I've been able to learn and whatever I've been able to gain by way of knowledge, by way of who God is, I learned from this man right here. Cut all my spiritual teeth right here. And we thank and praise God for that's all right. You can celebrate him. Give the Lord a hand of praise for him. Amen. Amen. Let me say, I just want to thank my wife and for, she kind of saved my life in a sense. Amen. Not to get into any of that. I told you I'm a different. I needed something extra. Amen. And the Lord has been kind to allow her to come into my life at the time when she did to help this preacher. To get in the right place. So we thank God for her. Amen. God be praised. And God be lifted up. Amen. 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 All right, let's get into this word. I thought that when Big Papa called me and asked me to share the word this morning, I had been hanging around in the book of Revelation, and he had been talking about the church. We moving into the church celebration. Yes, sir. And so I just thought that it would be befitting for me to share with you something about the church. Yes, sir. I want to talk about the church and when I was a young preacher, I used to beg for amen. I wish somebody would help this preacher. Come on. Yes, sir. Can I get a witness? Amen. All that kind of stuff. Yes, but I matured. I don't beg for a witness. Beg for an amen. Amen. No more. Now begging for an amen. The Bible said the redeemer of the Lord would say so. If you love him, you'll say it.
Amen.
But I thought it would be fitting if I would talk about today the church.
Talk about church. Yes, sir. Talk about.
And put everything in perspective for us as we move into this great, great celebration.
Yes, sir.
And it is a great celebration. 71 years.
Amen.
And So let me try to do the best that I can. I know I'm inadequate. I know that I don't deserve to be up here preaching. Don't deserve to have this opportunity. So I am humbled. I'm humbled in this opportunity. Every time I get a chance to say something, yes, on behalf of God.
Amen.
And so if you would turn to Revelation chapter 3, there is a word for us that I want to lift up out of this particular passage of scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, down to verse 10.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible reads, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the keys of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
I want to talk about today. I just want you to be thinking about this subject as we move into this whole celebration. I want to talk about the real church.
Yeah, real,
yes, sir.
Talk about it, sir.
Right.
Come on, Doc.
I want to talk about the real church coming right from these passages of scripture. The real church.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
So that subject implies that there got to be a false church. We want to talk about the real,
come on,
the real church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, before I could really get to where I need to get, I just want to lay down a couple of things just to kind of help us keep everything in perspective.
Yes,
now, the first time we hear the word church is in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18, right over there it says, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. Are y'all with me? And the gates of hell shall not prevail. So that's the first place that we hear the word church is thought of. It comes from the heart and mind of our Christ, of our Savior.
Yes, sir.
First place. Then the second time the church is birthed over in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says when the Spirit would fully come, the 120 was up in the upper room, the 11 apostles and those who had came to Christ during that time.
Yes,
it was 120 that formed the church. So the church was birthed on that particular day.
Yes, sir.
And then it talks about how the church expanded, how the church grew. For Acts covers that all through Acts. I want us to see something interesting. When we get to the book of Revelation, Apostle John, he starts to talk about the church age. Where we are now. Now this is gonna all make sense to you. I just want you to follow me, so it'll make sense.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So the first time we hear it, the Lord said, "I'm gonna build my church."
Yes, sir.
And then the church is birthed in Acts chapter 2. Then over in Revelation, when John writes this particular book, this is around AD 96, he writes this particular book.
And he's talking about the church age, meaning that where we are right now. Now, after chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, when you never see the word church again until over in the end of the chapter, around 22. But the church shows up in Revelation chapter 4. Where's the church? The church has been raptured. Revelation chapter 4, the church is raptured. Amen. And we see that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. When the Bible says, and around the throne was the 24 elders. The 24 elders represents the church in heaven. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And then in its eternal state, we see the church in Revelation chapter 19. A new heaven, a new earth, and here it is, right with God, when God comes back, Christ comes back in his second coming. That's in a nutshell. Amen, in terms of how the church is going to progress. Now, who is the church?
Okay. Well, yes, sir.
I'm sorry. My mouth is dry.
Take your time. Go ahead.
Nothing but the devil. Trying to preach and get this out.
Yep.
But who is the church?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, the word church, as we said, showed up when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to build my church. The word church is ekklesia in the Greek. It's a compound word, meaning that it's from ek, which means out, and klesia comes from the Greek word kaleo, which is called. So it's the called out ones. That's who it is, the called out ones.
Yes, sir.
And I need to say this, the church is not for the non-believer. That's the problem that we have. That's why the church is not growing like it ought to be, because we got it mixed up. And I'm going to prove it all here today before I sit down. So don't jump ahead of me. But the church is for believers. Well, so how are believers? Because he said it's for the called out ones. Didn't say sinners. Didn't say the lost. We're going to get to where the laws come in, but the church is for believers. Now, we use this scripture a lot over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I wish you would turn there real quickly. Romans chapter 8, where it says, and we know, all y'all know that, and we know that all things work together. Y'all know it. All things work together for the good to them that love God, and who is the call? That's the church. That is not for all sinners. That is not for all people. That is for the church. Paul is making the distinction between who is the church. The church is called out ones. The church is for believers. The church is for the ones who love God.
Yes, sir.
Who love God. It's crystal clear in the Bible. Now, when we get that straight, we own our way to victory. We own our way to where we get ready to celebrate 71 years. I want to make sure we understand where we are. So the church is for believers. Amen. I want us to understand clearly that it's for believers. The Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians, I got time to turn up, 2 Corinthians verse 14, that the natural man understandeth not the things of God. They are foolishness to him, and neither can he understand it. So the church is for those who are called. Anytime you run into the word over the New Testament called, it is referring to those who are effectually saved, those who are born again, those who have God's DNA in them. God is with them. God is on. He's talking about the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Here's the thing. When we get it together, when the church gets it together, the loss is coming. Gonna prove it here in just a moment. We trying to attract folk don't mean God no good anyway. They're going to mess everything up in here. But if we, I'm messing somebody up. I'm messing something. I'm going to straighten it out in just a moment. But when we get it together, they coming.
Amen.
They coming. Who are the church? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of the church? It's to glorify and lift up God. God has given us the authority. Right over there in Matthew again, Matthew chapter 16, where we first hear the word church, in verse 19, Jesus says these words right here, amen. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So the purpose of the church is God has given us his authority. He's given us his authority. He's given us his power so that we have the keys to open up salvation, to open up the kingdom of God. We got it. He put it in the church's hands.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the purpose.
Purpose, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir. Work.
That's the purpose. That's the purpose.
Yes, sir.
That's the church. That's where the church is at. We talk about the church, the real church.
Yes, sir. Real church.
So we get over there in Revelation, and the Apostle John is the writer of this particular book. And we all know who he is. He's the one, the beloved John, the one who's called the love apostle. He's the one who was part of that inner circle, the three, Peter, James, and John. He's the one that had wrote the John, the Gospel of John, wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then he writes this book in Revelation. He writes this right again about AD 96. John is the last of all of the apostles. All of his fellow brethren have been mutilated, martyred, died. He's the last one at the time of writing of this particular text.
Yes,
and he was the last one ministering right there in Ephesus. And he was ministering there, and then that's why he was cast. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, said they cast him because he was preaching the gospel.
Yes,
he
sir.
Was teaching and leading folk. He was the last one. And so they tortured him and threw him on the Isle of Patmos to let him die. And while he was over there on the Isle of Patmos, God gives him this great vision that would lay out the future of civilization, the future of the world. John gets this amazing, powerful vision from God that's going to lay out everything that's going to happen to us. And I would say this, it would pay us good attention to get into it. We stray away from the book of Revelation, but we really should get into it.
Amen.
But I want to park here in this third chapter real quick. I know y'all ready to go already. But let me just say a few remarks. let me say a few remarks. And get out your way. Amen. But it's critical for us to understand that John, when he writes in this particular book, chapters 2 and 3 covers what we call the church age. This epoch, this period of time is us, is where we are. And when he writes about these particular churches, you can find these churches today. These churches are today. Now let me say it. I said he wrote this around AD 96. So around AD 60 or so, These churches were strong at the time when they were developed. Apostle Paul and many others who came through, John was the last one writing. These churches during that time, AD 53, AD 54, 55, 56, they were strong churches at that particular time. And so John is writing, something has happened. Something terribly has happened during the time of the writing of this particular text. And so we find that these churches, you can find every one of these churches today. You take the church of Ephesus, number one. That church was a church that lost its love. A loveless church, a hard church, hard people. Hard people will cuss you out at a drop of a hat. Hard folk, just hard, hard. And I ran into one of those churches. I got called to a church. I ain't gonna mention the name because then y'all be saying it might be one of your cousins or your brother or sister or somebody, a member of that church. So don't get me to call out their name. I ain't about to call out the name of the church because then you're gonna be mad at me. I'm just here trying to preach the word of God. Amen. But mean, hard. Got their folk cuss you out, cussing each other out, fighting, drunk, falling out in the pool. Hard, but meeting in the name of Jesus. That's the one. That those churches do exist. Then the church of Smyrna. Here's the church of Smyrna, the second church. This particular church was a church that loved God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Love God. Oh, God, I wish I had time. I don't. Here's the church of Smyrna, a church that loves God. The church was designed just to suffer for God.
Yes, sir.
All they did was suffer. The name Smyrna comes from suffering. It comes from this thing that you have. You just smash it to get its fruit out of it. You smash it to get the fruit out of it.
Yes, sir.
God has Smyrna just to suffer. God get glory out of our suffering sometime. This church is true. It's a persecuting church. Oh, God, y'all looking at me. Well, where the church at? The church is in the global south today in Nigeria. When I was on the campus of DTS, when I was studying at Dallas Theological Seminary, I ran into a guy by the name of Yakubu, who was from Jos, Nigeria. And he began to tell me about all of the stories, how folk was getting their hand chopped off for just being in church.
Right.
Tied up.
Yes, sir.
This going on right now. The Church of Smyrna you can find in the global south. Africa, China, South America, the global south.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the church of Smyrna.
Yes, sir.
Going on right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Church that love God. And I'm looking at some people in here right now suffering. Seems like every time something go on. You can't get ahead because one foot is knocking the other foot out the way. You can't get ahead because every sickness coming. Seems like every time. That's all right. Hold your head up. God got your back.
Oh, yes, sir.
We just heard the man saying it don't get better.
Yes, sir.
And I'm tired of people trying to theologize whatever that the only way God is good is when I get a new car. Only time God is good is when I get a promotion. God is good when I get a healing.
Come on. Yes.
God is good anyway.
Yes, sir.
No matter what happens, no matter what goes your way, he's still good.
Yes, sir.
You going through don't make him no better, don't make him no worse. He is God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We got to get our theology right. Our theology need to be right. Our theology is that what the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is the gain. My promotion might be, my healing might be me dying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My Lord. My promotion might be my dying. Church of Smyrna. Church of Smyrna. Then the church of Pergamos. I got to hurry on. The church of Pergamos. Oh, my God. Just a church. Corrupt. Corrupt church. Church just corrupt. All kinds of stuff going in the church, but in the meeting in the name of the Lord, but the church is corrupt. It was strong, but something happened. I'm going somewhere with all of this. I wish I'd say hurry up and get it, but we need to. I need to get this first before we can get there. You ain't gonna preach. If I just ran and got there, you ain't gonna appreciate what I'm saying. You got to get this. It's in the text right here.
Yes, sir.
We got to get this first.
Yeah.
You want to know why you're shouting? You don't just be jumping up. You know, like the boy.
Yes.
Like the mother told the teacher, if Johnny act up, don't slap him, slap the boy next to him. Then he'll straighten up, and the boy next to him don't wonder why he getting slapped. He got slapped so he can get straightened up. So we need to know what's going on. This a corrupt church. And then you had the church of Thyatira. The church there with the Jezebel. The church there with the woman having the influence, the church there, well, God never intended for the woman to have that authority and to have that kind of power in God's church. Now, and I done messed somebody up right there. Well, you go and look at it yourself. I didn't write it. I'm just interpreting. I'm just telling you what it is. All kind of foolishness going on in the church. And those churches existed today. And then you have the church of Sardis. Let me hurry. The church of Sardis, and this is probably where the most of them lie, because they are camouflaged in the absence of God. The church appears to be alive, but it's dead. They're jumping off the rafters. Church of 10 and 20,000. Joel Osteen, for example. That ain't no church! Now, if you're listening to him, turn him off.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
That's a Sardis. A church where it appears God is there, but God is not there.
My Lord.
Oh, another one. T.D. Jakes. Turn him off. He don't believe in the Trinity. He's a modalist.
Yes, sir.
One God.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says anybody come with another gospel, let him be cursed. All that emotionalism, all of that shouting, all of that going on, and no God. No teaching going on in that church. I lived there in Dallas, studying at Dallas Theological Seminary. Took preachers over there who wanted to go see the church. It's a shame when you go over there see the church, you got all of this theater and no classrooms. No teaching going on. They come in there to hear him. Sardis. Sardis was a church where it appeared that God was there. And thousands of people are going. Broad is the road. I got to wake some of y'all up because some of y'all don't. I want you to be excited about the Bible. You need to be excited about the Bible, not about a man.
Yes, sir.
Not about a man, but about the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Reverend. About the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Broad is the road that leadeth to destruction. Jesus, in that great sermon on the mount in chapter 7, in Matthew chapter 7, I don't have you turn that because I got to turn something else. Around verse 21, he said, many will come to me in that day.
Yeah.
And what would they say? They would say, we prophesied in your name. That meaning we preach. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not talking about a cult. He's not talking about somebody outside. He's not talking about, we need the cults and... Our problem is stuff rising up inside. Stuff rising up in the midst of us. The crooks and the false prophets and false teachers has been raised up right in our midst. Many will come and say, we prophesied in your name. We've done great and mighty works. We even healed in your name. What is the Lord going to say to them? Depart from me. I never... knew you. That's the Bible.
Amen.
That's the Sardis. I got to hurry on. The Church of Laodicea. I'm gonna get to Philadelphia because that's the real church. I'm gonna park there for a minute and I'm gonna sit down. But the Church of Laodicea was a church that was neither hot or cold. It was just the world took over. The church was a thrive. I hope y'all hearing me today.
Yes,
the church was a thriving and bubbling church. Amen. But they let the influence of the world come in and took over.
Yes,
I'm going, so we're gonna be shouting here in just a moment, but we getting there, but we Laodicea, the lukewarm church. The world had came in and infiltrated the church, and we see those churches all over the place today. So let me talk about the real church and sit down. What's the real church? We park right here in Revelation chapter 3. Here's the real church. And I want to say three things about the real church, and I'm going to sit down. Number one, I want to talk about the shepherd real quick. There's a shepherd there, and then two, there's a savior. The savior has a role in the church, and then lastly, there's the sheep, and it's right here.
Yes, sir.
So I want to talk about that shepherd. I want to talk about that, the savior. Then I want to talk about those sheep, and then I'm gonna sit down, just real briefly, because it ain't gonna take long. You'll get it real quick. But here's the scene. Here it is, church scene. Here we are today in 2019. We're getting ready. We're going to celebrate 71 years.
Yes, sir.
And I think that it's appropriate at this particular time because John writes this again like 96. So back in the time when Jesus said I was going to build my church, it was probably around AD 30. So it's right about 69 years. We're going right into 71. Isn't that this kind of parallel? After 60-something years, here's the church. Standing strong, hallelujah. Here's St. Paul, standing strong, amen. Standing strong.
Amen.
And so, first thing I wanted to see in this real church is that there is a shepherd. Ah, God. There's a shepherd there, and we got one here.
Yes, sir.
I thought I was gonna get some clap. 48 years! 48 years, this man been standing. 48!
Yes, sir.
Let me say something about the shepherd. The shepherd he's not called to be an entertainer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Nope.
Yes, sir.
Nope. Nope. He's not here to entertain you.
Well, yes, sir.
He's not here to make you shout. He's not here to get your approval. He's not here
Yes, sir.
He's a shepherd.
Yes, sir.
That's what the book says right here. Mm-hmm. He's a shepherd. To the angel of the church he wrote. Not to the church, he wrote to the angel of the church. The angel, angelos in the Greek, was simply means a one who's sent by God.
Yes, sir.
Sent by God. The shepherd is sent by God.
Uh-huh.
Number one, he's not called to be an entertainer. He's not called to the culture.
Right.
He's not called to appease the culture, to make the culture feel good about themselves. He's not called for that purpose. He's not a politician.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's not trying to take care of the ills that's going on in the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right.
He's a shepherd.
Yes, sir.
Y'all looking at me, what do you mean shepherd? Turn, I want you to turn your Bible and see this. Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Please turn there. Please. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me tell you what the shepherd is to do. What he's called for.
Yes, sir.
Here's Peter writing it. And y'all know who Peter is? He's the one Jesus told him, if you love me, feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Told him three times. If you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. Right here in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exalt the elders. Other word for pastor, shepherd. He's going to break it down. Among you, and you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is revealed. Shepherd the flock of God.
Yes, sir.
That's what he tells them. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily,
yes,
according to the will of God. Shepherd, he's called a shepherd. He's called to feed the flock, to feed them. Turn real quickly over to Acts chapter 20. What is the shepherd to do? Acts chapter 20, real quickly, and I'm getting out your way. Acts chapter 20. Look what Paul says as it relates to this shepherd in verse 28. Verse 28, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer and shepherd. To who? The church of God.
Yes, sir.
Not to sinners.
Right.
Oh. Not to the lost world, to the shepherd, to the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Look what he says. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you.
Yes,
not sparing the flock, and from among you, from among your own self, that's what I say, they will rise up among us. Among yourself, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert.
Yes, sir.
Be alert. So the shepherd is to feed the flock.
Yes, sir.
We have one here. 48 years.
Yes, sir.
How long is he the shepherd? How long? What's his job? He's shepherd. St. Paul is standing 71 years because this man of God is a shepherd.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Shepherd, feeding the flock.
Yes, sir.
And over there in Ephesians, I ain't gonna have you turn to over there in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, he gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastor teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. How long? Until they come to the full maturity. So I say this last thing about the shepherd. The shepherd is long term.
Yes, sir.
It's long term. You can't go into a church. You can't go into the flock and expect this flock to be strong in 2 years, 3 years.
Yes, sir.
Well, I ain't got no witness. I'm a witness myself. I told you I'm a little different than all the sons in this church. I jumped out there and went on, did my own thing, did what God called me to do,
went there, started Progressive there in Stockton. God bless the church, did well. And now Shields is there, church is doing well. But I got out there, I lasted there 4 years, about 6 months. Long term. The pastor, the shepherd is long term. You don't judge a church by its numbers.
My Lord.
The church is determined by the Christ-likeness.
Yes, sir.
How are the people in the church where the man of God is pastoring? Yes, they're loving people. They love God.
Yes, sir.
That's long term. And that's why I said you don't fight. If it ain't in them, you can't put it in them. You can't make them. You got to shepherd the flock. And that's what he has done. If he ain't done nothing else, he's shepherding me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's shepherding me.
Yes, sir.
He's shepherding me.
Yes, sir.
And I heard Rodney over here say that he came here as a boy. He's still here. Mm-hmm. He shepherded him. We got a great shepherd.
Amen.
Let me hurry on. I kept you too long. We got a shepherd. We have the Savior. He says in Revelation, there, right there around verse, he said to the who is holy, one who is holy, the one who is true, who has the keys of David. Y'all see that right there? In Revelation chapter 3, verse, I'm almost done. In verse 8, in verse 7, there, B portion, who has the keys of David, who opens and no one shut, and who shut and no one can open.
Yeah, yeah.
The Savior. You got this. Shepherd him. You have this Savior. The Savior is the one who's the head of the church. He's the one with the authority.
Well,
he died and purchased the church with his blood. Nothing goes on unless he approves it. He has those keys. Amen. He can open up doors and he can close doors. He can shut doors and nobody can open them. The power is in his hand. And I hope you see the terminology he used, because he gives that power and authority to the church back over in Matthew chapter 16. We just looked at it. Verse 19, when he said, and I give you the keys that what you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. What is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. That authority the shepherd gives to the church.
Yes, sir.
That opens up doors that no man can close.
Right.
When we have this awe in our heart and our soul about who the head of the church is, the head of the church is the Lord Jesus. He is King of Kings,
yes,
and Lord of Lords, and he has all power,
yes,
in his hand. We dance to his music. We move to his drum beat. We run when he speaks. We bow when he show up. He's King of Kings,
yes,
and Lord of Lords.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's who we take our orders from. We take our orders from him. And when the shepherd has the right perspective, that it's not him, but it's the Lord that has all power in his hands. I wish we had time. I would turn there and show you where the all power comes from. Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus said he got up out the grave and he said, I got all power in my hand, in heaven and on earth. Y'all know there's nothing on the other side of all.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing on the other side of all. You can't add to it nor take away.
All is inclusive, everything. So be careful when you're talking and say all. Oh, y'all get that when you get home. All. He has all power.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And he's giving it to the church. Lest I keep you too long, I wanted to say a lot more about the Savior. But this is the celebration. And it's about us, the church. We celebrate the shepherd. We got a great shepherd in this church.
Yes, sir.
Long term, been here, laboring. We see the shepherd. We see the Savior. But here's the sheep. I really, really pray to God that you get this, because the church is for believers. And he says right there in these last couple of verses that I just wanted to highlight real quickly, what the sheep do. The sheep, they love the Lord. They love his word. The Bible says right there, because you have kept my word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you have kept it. And not only you kept my word, but you love me.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So the mark of a true believer is that, number one, they love the word of God.
Yes, sir.
You love the word of God. I guess I've been up here too long, they're playing music on me. Is that for me? To God be the glory, and may heaven smile.
Shall we all stand? Pastor Harris, Reverend Harris, had preached a message, The Real Church. Hallelujah. And that church is a body of baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not assume that everyone here is saved. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we ask you to come. Won't you come? Won't you come? He said something interesting earlier on in the infancy of his message that don't know about tomorrow, for tomorrow, that's right, tomorrow's not promised. But I heard someone say, choose you this day whom you will serve. Won't you come? The scripture that he used in Revelation 3, down to verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and have sup with him and he with me. That is an invitation. That's for you, that's for you, that's for you. You don't know him, you don't know, you can know him today. Won't you come? Won't you come? He is a good shepherd. This is, even St. Paul, this is fertile ground. He talked about the shepherd. The shepherd points you to God. He places you in a place where it's fertile, where you could feed. You need to be under the ark of safety. Won't you come? Won't you come? All right. All right. Then you may be saved, but you don't have a church home. You need to be under the ark of safety. You need to be shepherd. You need to be encouraged. Won't you come? Won't you come? We see that there is none. We discharge our duty, yet there is room. God bless you and God keep you.